57. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, that'd be true. It is the mother of all roadies. It is an awesome week. I am Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from Radio Row. We do it every single year, and this year is no different, except we are in Arizona. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, check out that. It's a beautiful scene. It's a beautiful day. We have a lot to get done. As a reminder, the program this week brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's 2 for $6 is the best deal in fast food, featuring the Dave Single Spicy Chicky Sandwich, 10-piece crispy nugs, or medium strawberry lemonade. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6. All right, if you're new to our broadcast row, what we do is very different than what we do during the week. We go wall to wall. We try to get you as many personalities and as many point of views as we possibly can and get you ready for the big game. So I am not going to waste any time. If you want to jump in on social, go ahead and do that. You know, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. If you want to email me, I can read those too. Rome@haveatake.com. Just know every single segment is already booked and we are ready to roll. And right off the very top, I'm joined right now by a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, 5 years in the league, selected with the 86th pick overall out of Oklahoma back in 2018. Another huge year for him, 73 receptions, 847 yards, 5 TDs. He appears today courtesy of Rockin' Protein, his go-to protein drink. I, of course, am speaking of Mark Andrews. Mark, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited about it.
Dude, I am really excited about it. You're going to start the day for us. Let me get your thoughts on the season that just happened. Another really grit and grind season. You guys were busted up. You played without Lamar Jackson for the final month of the year, yet you still won 10 games. You still get to the postseason. As you look back, what thoughts do you have about the guys in the locker room and the season you all just had?
You know, I think for me, just looking at the team that we had, you know, you look at our defense and, you know, how dominant they were. We had an incredibly good team. I think offensively, we started off fast and we kind of tapered off throughout the middle of the season. And, you know, but I was excited by, you know, what we put out there our last game. I think guys fought real hard. I think you look at that game, we should have won that game against a good Bengals team. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, a lot to improve, and I think we're going to be able to get there. You know, we have a great team.
I was going to say, excuse me, when you talk about how, you know, we probably should have won that game, a loss like that, what do you do with that? I mean, how long does that stay with you? How long do you process that before you move on to the next thing and put it behind you altogether?
You got to use that as fuel. You know, everything you do in life is fuel. So remember that one, grow from it, and let's get better.
Well, I mean, I'm so glad you mentioned the concept of fuel. I'm curious. I mean, obviously, you are really in tune with your physical game. You're really in tune with your technique. But what about your mental game? Like, what's your process and program for developing everything from the shoulders up?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot. You know, I do a lot of meditating, you know, thinking, and I'm a visualizer. So especially with football, it's I'm visualizing the catches, the plays, doing things the right way, you know, the night before, during the week, and making sure that, you know, I'm on point with my head and visualizing, and everything's good to go.
I was saying, man, the most important muscle, like if you're a pro athlete and you have body as temple, man, you're worried about every muscle, but there is no more important muscle than the brain, right? Would you agree?
100%. You know, that's spot on. Everything you do, all your actions are done through your brain.
Mark Andrews joining us. You mentioned about the importance of doing things the right way. And then you have the Raven way, all right? I've talked to so many Ravens over the years. They always talk about the Ravens way. How would you describe what that is exactly, and what's it mean to you to be a Raven?
You know, being a Raven, I think, encompasses a lot of things. You know, one, we work very hard. We work hard, but we do things the right way, which means that every day that you come into work, you have a purpose. You have an intention of getting better, you know, being with your teammates and just grinding away, because the other teams aren't going to outbeat us, aren't going to outwork us. And, you know, we're going to show them on Sunday that, you know, you come to play the Ravens, you got to be ready.
Raven Mark Andrews joining us. So the team already took a big step for next season by locking up Roquan Smith. He gets his extension. Business is business. This can be the most ruthless business. How do you see Lamar Jackson's contractual situation playing out with the team moving forward?
You know, I don't know too much. Obviously, that's the...
They didn't consult you on that?
No.
You're not a part of the negotiation?
I'm not a part. You know, right. If I was, you know, I'm giving what he wants. But, you know, that's a business part about it, you know, and I'm confident that they're going to be able to figure that one out. I know that Lamar wants to be a Raven. You know, he's passionate about that, being a part of this organization, and I know they feel the same way about him.
I'm going to ask you one more thing about that, because I know you're probably thinking, man, why does everybody ask me about Lamar? Which is fair, but everybody's going to ask you about Lamar. Let me ask you this. What kind of headspace do you think that he'll be in if they don't work out a long-term deal and the team hits him with a franchise tag?
That'd be tough, you know, but there is one thing I do know about Lamar is that He's an incredibly competitive person. He has a lot of respect for his teammates. And, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that likes to win, hates to lose. So if he's there with the Ravens next year, it's all good for Lamar.
I mean, dude, there have been some amazing players. Almost nobody starts and ends their career with the same team. I mean, can you imagine him in another uniform?
No, I can't. You know, he's a Raven. You know, he's a Raven for life. He's meant for the purple.
Mark Andrews joining me here, first guest on Tuesday. You know, you're no stranger to the Pro Bowl. I got to ask you, what was that experience like for you this time around with the new format? How did that go for you personally?
I thought the format was good. You know, the skills game were fun. I got to play a little dodgeball, which I had a good time at. I got out kind of early, but I had a good time. I think the flag football game was a good, you know, implementation to what we were doing instead of the game. You know, I think guys that enjoyed that part about it, it was less stress. You don't have to worry about, you know, hitting and doing all that sort of things after a long season. So I enjoyed it. I got to spend time with family and friends, which is big for me.
So what about dodgeball? You're not one of those guys who turns into the dodgeball bully that targets the weak guy, the guy who's not really good laterally, the guy who doesn't have great movement. You're not that guy, are you?
No, I'm more of a catcher. You know, I want to catch and get somebody out, but yeah, I had fun.
All right, so what about the flag football game? I mean, it's the main priority in the Pro Bowl, of course, is to get selected. Everybody wants to go to the Pro Bowl, yeah, but not necessarily play in the Pro Bowl. Is the flag football aspect a good alternative to it?
I think it's sticking. Yeah, I think that's something that's going to stick for a while. I think guys had fun. Like I said, there was no stress. It was just guys flying around having fun and enjoying the game.
All right, so let me ask you about the matchup this weekend. For instance, Travis Kelce is putting up video numbers again, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a career-high 110 receptions. He had 12 TDs. Obviously, his dude plays in a great system. He's got an incredible quarterback. But in your opinion, what makes him one of the best ever? Like, what's the foundation for his skill set?
And there's so much to it. You know, just the way they seize the game. He's so good at finding spots, but he's also an incredibly good man beater, which is tough to guard a guy like that, because you play zone on him. He's a guy that just can kind of feel his way through it and find a spot, and him and Patrick are on the same page at almost all times. So you do that, and then you're like, oh, we'll just play him a man and put our best guy on him.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, right? Have fun with that, man. He's so special, so good, and he's doing it year after year, which is just incredible to see. And again, he's having an incredible year this year and just doing his thing. It's awesome to watch him.
I mean, when you talk about him doing it year after year, isn't that the most important thing? Consistency.
Yes.
Consistency. How impressed are you with how consistent this guy is? And again, great system, great quarterback, but you got to do the work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody's else, other tight ends' numbers could really touch, you know, what he's done and how consistent he's been. But yeah, just a lot of love for his game.
All right, so what about this weekend? Do you have an early lean? What do you think the game is going to come down to? What are you most interested in seeing?
I think it's going to be a close game. You know, I think both the teams are incredibly good. You know, I know that, you know, probably Patrick Mahomes is hearing all this talk about how he's hurt and you know, that they may not win because he's hurt. And I think he's going to be able to use that and as motivation to motivate that team. So I think they're going to be, you know, hot and ready to go. One of my best friends is Orlando Brown, so I'm kind of rooting for the Chiefs.
Okay, so do you think on that offensive line, I mean, you know, Philadelphia is coming after the quarterback. We know this. They're deep. They're athletic. They're explosive. They're dangerous. They get to the quarterback. We know this.
Yeah.
Do you think KC can have any kind of consistent success blocking them up front? How do you see that matchup in the trenches?
I think you put it the right way. You know, that's a physical D-line. They're up front. They charge vertical, and it's tough to block that. But that O-line for the Chiefs is a good O-line. You know, so I have a lot of respect for them, and I think they're going to get the job done.
I think so, too. And Patrick Mahomes, the one thing you don't want is a Patrick Mahomes with a chip on his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
like as if that guy needs any more motivation.
That's a scary sight.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? I'm always amazed at you guys, especially when you're already at the highest level and you've already, you know, frankly, you've made so much, you have so much. How do you get that chip? I mean, do you have to create chips that don't exist? Where does that fuel come from? Are you always looking for fuel?
Always. You always got to look for something. And I think especially at this stage and especially...
Do you make stuff up? I mean, do you look for something and just make stuff up?
A lot of times people make it up for you. So you don't need anything like that.
It's actually funny. There's another part of the fuel. You're partnered up with Rockin' Protein. No lie, dude. Look at me. I need more protein. Tell me if this is where I need to go to get it. And what are you doing with those folks?
Jim, you're going to have to try it out. It's so good. So it's Rockin' Protein is...
Did you bring me any?
We have some for you.
Okay,
we
good.
We have some for you. Yeah.
Good.
But it's my
free
go-to.
Free is me.
It's incredible. It's my go-to protein drink. I've been using it since I was in high school. Shamrock Farms is a local Arizona-based. And so I've been using it forever. It's a... It's very smooth, and it tastes amazing. So that's the biggest part about it is all these protein drinks are chalky. This is not that. It's high-source protein, tastes amazing, and it gets me to where I need to be when I train and do all those different things.
All right, so when you talk high-source, how many grams of protein are we looking at per bottle, per serving?
What? Yeah, so there's three different types. There's the Builder. The Builder has, I believe, 30 grams of protein. It's lower carbs, so it's kind of like before you work out. And then there's a Rebuilder, which is, you know, after the workout. It's 2-to-1 carb ratio. It's got 20 grams of protein and then 40 grams of carbs. And then they have this, like, caffeine one. It's got about, I think it's like 20 grams of protein, but it's perfect for
I'll be using that one.
Yeah. Yeah,
actually, you answered my question, Mark. I was going to say, do I use it prior to working out? I'm throwing the weights around less and less, more and more cardio, but do I hit it before or after? I think you just answered the question. It's
all
both.
The time. All
it's
the
both,
time.
Right?
Protein is incredible. You can't have enough of it, and especially when you got high source protein like this, it's why wouldn't you do it? It's only going to help your body up.
So where do they go to get it?
It's in all convenience stores. Any convenience stores is going to have these have Rockin' Protein.
So before you go, I mean, in addition to that, you are what you eat. Body is temple.
100%.
That's your moneymaker. Like, how do you approach nutrition as your career has evolved and you know that you want to rest, you want to recover, you don't want the inflammation? Obviously, you got to know everything you're putting in your body. How do you approach nutrition overall?
Well, being a type 1 diabetic, I'm ultra aware of my nutrition. So since a young age, I've been able to kind of fine-tune how, you know, different foods react, how I feel with different foods. And so I'm constantly thinking about, you know, what I'm putting in and so I can get the most out. And so that's big for me.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't think that a lot of people or everybody knows that you are a type 1 diabetic and you've lived with this essentially your entire lifetime. What was it like when you found out as a youngster and how did your parents react to it?
Yeah, I was 9 years old, and my symptoms were I was going to the bathroom all the time. I'd be in a soccer game, and I'd have to go to the bathroom 5 times in one half. And, you know, my dad, being a doctor, saw these symptoms, and I remember going into, you know, the waiting room after, you know.
Was he really concerned? I mean, as a doctor, and he saw the symptoms?
Extremely.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the first time I'd ever seen my dad cry. And, you know, I knew, you know, at 9 years old, you don't really understand exactly what that means. But, you know, I knew something in my life was going to change forever. But, you know, I have an incredible family. Incredible support staff behind me, and they've helped me throughout everything, and helped me to get to where I need to be.
So let me ask you finally, I think that there are people listening, I guarantee there are people listening who are dealing with this as well and are getting inspiration from this. It obviously worked out really well, right? I mean, whatever you had to do, you did, and you've made an amazing life for yourself. Was there any point ever during that whole process where you thought, why me?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's all the time, but there's definitely that question of why me. And so that's, you know, one of my things of having this stage, this pedestal of playing in the NFL is, I want to show these kids and families, whoever's dealing with type 1 diabetes, that you're not alone. You're not alone in this fight. And it is a fight. It's a 24/7 fight. So just know that.
Still?
It is. All time. It's nonstop. So just know that. Just keep on going. Keep on working hard. Keep on taking care of yourself. Your health is the most important thing. And, yeah.
Great, great message for everybody. A tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, 5 years in the league, putting up huge numbers and appearing today courtesy of Rockin' Protein. Dude, I'm usually not this guy. I don't want to ask for anything ever from anybody, but I want some Rockin' Protein.
Gotta have
Maybe
it.
Leave me some if you could.
Yes, sir.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Mark, really good to see you, man. Appreciate you.
Yep, thank you for having me on.
One of the best in the game, Mark Andrews, starting us off on the Tuesday version or edition of Radio Row. Lots still to get to. My thanks to him. Coming up next, a Hall of Famer, Anthony Munoz, will be joining me on the set. But this is how this goes. We are wall-to-wall, lots of different personalities, lots of different interviews, and we'll talk about the game itself. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. More from The Row in Arizona momentarily. Anthony Munoz coming up next. Meantime, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, has all the Super Bowl action you need. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, and all customers can get in on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in state where it's lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states. Age does vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Void in Ohio and Ontario. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back to Arizona. We're coming to you from the Radio Row, which I've done probably, I keep trying to figure it out, maybe 25 times or more. And the beauty of it is you have access to certain people and you can run down old friends. This is one of my favorite guys every single year when I get to the Row. He's a former NFL offensive lineman. He played 13 years in the league. He was the third overall pick by the Bengals out of USC, played in a couple of Super Bowls, an 11-time Pro Bowler, a member of the NFL's 1980s All-Decade Team, the NFL's 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, the NFL's 100th Anniversary All-Time Team, and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He currently serves as the Hall of Fame's Chief Football Relationship Officer. Anthony Munoz joins us. Big dog, what's up? How are you?
Great, Jim. How you doing? That's always good seeing you here. 25 years?
I'm going to say about 25, give or take a couple.
Yeah.
I was saying.
It goes fast. This is my... You mentioned the Pro Football Hall of Fame, 25th year this year.
Incredible, right? So what do you do with that? Does it feel like 25 years to you? I feel like life used to go on. It was pretty consistent. And then all of a sudden I looked up and I'm like, where did those 10 years go?
I agree. I totally agree. It just flies by. I mean, it's amazing how fast it goes. You know, I'm 64. I'll be 65. And I'm like, wait, I thought I just got to Cincinnati at 21. It's like, but no, it happens. And you just roll with it and have fun. And I'm thankful that I can do the things I do. And, you know, it's just, but it does fly by. In fact, I have 9 grandkids. And one of them,
incredible.
Young man.
Incredible. What's that like?
The best.
Is that the best thing ever?
Oh, the best. So one of them was 9 years old. He's 14 now. He was 9 years old. To your point, we're sitting at dinner one night, and he goes, Poppy, he says, I've been thinking. And I'm like, what have you been thinking? He says, as I get older, he's 9 years old. He goes, I get older, these days are really going fast.
Dude, that's amazing that he did that at nine.
Wait till you get old like me. Then they really fly by.
Well, what bothers me even more than how fast the days are going is that he's got a better perspective on life at 9 than I do at 58. That's incredible. That is amazing. You know, you mentioned 25 years since you went in the Hall of Fame. Listen, I would imagine you have bonds with everybody you played with all the way up. I mean, Pee-wee, high school, college, the NFL. You have bonds that you can't recreate. I'm curious, though, what about the bonds with fellow Hall of Famers, guys that maybe you didn't go to battle with, maybe guys that you didn't go up against? It's the most exclusive fraternity of all. What are your bonds like with those guys?
Well, it's amazing you mentioned that, because this last summer I had a high school buddy. We played football, baseball together. I've known him since junior high. Him and his wife were traveling where they came and stayed with us. So there's bonds from high school. College, I go back to L.A., and there's this past summer, four linemen and spouses, our four wives, all four offensive linemen we met as freshmen at USC, just hung out together for 4 days. You Cincinnati Bengal guys, 40 to 50, still live in Cincinnati. But the difference with the Pro Football Hall of Famers, didn't play with them, competed against them, but the instant camaraderie, the instant togetherness because of the respect of what we did. You know, people say, hey, the first time you saw Bruce Smith, did you guys talk to each other? I said, far from the truth. I said, the first time I saw Bruce after we both retired in the hall, handshake and a hug because of the respect we have for each other. And, of course, you know, as we get older, we lose guys, and just lost a guy that I've known since my playing days and competed against him a little bit before he retired. Just an amazing individual, Franco Harris. Got to know him really well. But that's happening more and more. But I tell you what, I still pinch myself when I get together with those guys. We'll have a luncheon with, I think, 50 Hall of Famers here at the Super Bowl. Get to go out and play golf with 20 of my fellow Hall of Famers tomorrow. And it is just amazing because we did not strap it at one time in the same locker room other than maybe a Pro Bowl and play together in a division rival game or anything. But the relationships are just like crazy great.
Man, I am so glad that I asked that question. That is really fascinating. What about Franco? Like, I've told this story on the air. I grew up in Los Angeles. Strangely enough, diehard Laker fan, diehard Dodger fan. But it was in the mid-70s when I finally saw the NFL. I was addicted to the Steelers. Terry Bradshaw was my guy. What about Franco? You say he was a good friend of yours. When you think about Franco and the way he played the game and the man that he was, what kind of thoughts come to mind?
Well, first of all, you talk about the Steelers of the 70s. Now, you have to understand, my rookie year was 1980, right after they beat the Rams in Pasadena for their fourth Super Bowl. So my first game against the Steelers, I look across the line of scrimmage, Dwight White, Joe Green, L.C., Ham, Lambert, Blunt, Shell. My first thought is, do I get autographs first, and then we play? And then I look at their offense. They had, you know, Rocky Blair, Franco Harris, Bradshaw, Stahl, Stahl were swan. But Franco, I met him in the late 80s. We did a camp in Riverside.
Huh.
Ronnie Lott, myself, Matt Millen, and Franco Harrison. I got to take him home to my mom's home cooking. And I mean, the guy was has always been amazing. And even through the days of competing with him afterwards, he's always asking about what's going on. You know, I have a foundation. How you doing with the foundation? How can I help? And you know, not long before he passed, I saw him. And he's just the kindest and just would give you the coat off. Just the most gentlest guy that I've ever met, but he was a special guy.
Salt of the earth, man, yeah, a real guy.
Exactly.
Anthony Munoz, Hall of Famer, joining us, and we're going to talk in a moment about what he does with the Hall of Fame. I got to ask you this. Like, I'm a huge, because of my generation, my age, I'm an enormous Joe Montana guy, so much so that I've never really ever compared anybody to Joe Montana until Joe Burrow. Like, I think these two are the most cold-blooded dudes I think I've ever seen. You faced Montana and the Niners twice in the Super Bowl. Is it too soon to compare Burrow to Montana, or is that kid that good and have that much it?
So, first of all, you bring up a sort of – I'm 0 for Montana.
I know this. I know. I didn't want to say that.
Career. Yeah. But, no, respect for the man. I really don't think it's too quick to start the comparisons. But then on the other hand, give it another year or two, and I think they're going to start comparing young quarterbacks coming out of college to Joe Burrow.
Right.
He's that – not just because he plays for the Bengals, but every aspect of who he is on the field, off the field, the guy is – he's got it. He – I mean, to me, my first interview today was with Boomer Esiason. And – all of us would still run through a wall for Boomer. He had that swag that people call it arrogance or cockiness. Now, it's just confidence. And he brings the other guys to play to his level. And that's what Joe has. I mean, I enjoy so much watching him play because, first of all, I watch a lot of body language. You watch him, and you know when he scores, he gets excited. But you would never know when he throws a pick because he's not a guy that's demonstrative, pointing. He just comes back after a pick. And you know he's going to lead them to 80 yards and a touchdown or throw a long pass to Jamar Chase and score. The guy's just, like I said, ice in the ice veins, water. The guy's amazing. I love watching him play.
Anthony, in terms of body language, what's really interesting to me is what you just said. Do other guys in that same locker room pick up and feed off of body language, be it good body language or bad body language?
I believe so. And let me just share a story. I have
Please.
9 grandkids, 4 of them, and my daughter and her husband living with us right now. They're building on our property. So I got 2 older grandsons that are playing all kinds of sports, and they're gifted. 2 daughters that are, you know, granddaughters that are playing sports, and then another 5. The one thing I told the 2 boys, 11 and 13, I said, do me a favor. Watch Joe, and you're going to get enamored by his ability to read defense and throw him. I said, but watch his body language throughout the whole game. Good times, bad times, I want you to watch him because that's an example of how a leader carries himself on a football field. And to your question, guys react to that. Guys can feel that. I mean, they read that, they feel it, they know that. And when you have a leader that says, hey, we just threw a pick, let's go, we're going to score. The guys say, okay, that's good, no problem. He doesn't throw guys under the bus when, you know, Boomer didn't throw me under the bus when there was times he should have or his lineman, but we just go back and then we discuss that in film session on Monday. And that's what I see Joe doing. He just – but, yeah, guys do – they feed off that.
So what about that it, that thing that you can't really describe what it is, but you know this dude's got it coming out of his ears and you know it when you see it. Can you teach that it or are guys just wired for it? Like, where does that come from?
Well, you have to understand his coach was his – you know,
right.
Coach as a kid. He played football and he had – I mean, he was – drilled that way. He was brought up that way. He was coached that way. And I think a lot of times you see kids that have that background of coaches, fathers being coaches, or maybe fathers that played in the NFL and they've been around the game. They have a tendency to kind of be taught that way. And I think that's where it comes from, Joe. I mean, you watch, they show a lot of high school highlights in Ohio of his high school days because he is from Ohio.
Sure.
And you're like, there's a high school kid doing that? It's like, and you can tell the guys just rally around him. So I think it's something that at times you can be born with, but it has to be taught and coached that way too.
Maybe so. This dude, per end of the day, he's special. He is just special. This is a different dude. So you're not only in the Hall of Fame, of course, but you serve as the Chief Football Relationship Officer for the Hall of Fame. Anthony, what does that role entail? What are you focusing on?
Yeah, so never in my wildest dreams that believe I'd be not only a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but now an employee, and it happened this past summer. We have a new president, Jim Porter, who's doing a phenomenal job. He's been in the job a little over a year and doing some great things with the Hall. And so the board decided to create this new position where they would hire somebody to work right alongside the president. It would be the Chief Football Relationship Officer, of going out and really establishing some relationships that might not be there that really should be there. NFL owners, not that they've been bad, but pretty much non-existent. So we've been making a tour of meeting owners and just not asking for anything, but here's what's going on with the hall. Here's some long-term goals for us, planning for us, and corporate partners, meeting with them, and representing everything about the hall. Of course, representing my fellow Hall of Famers, who I love, all of them, the staff, the board, the city of Canton. Of course, we have to understand, people say, why in Canton? That's where the football birthed, man. That's where it started.
Sure.
So I'm really working in. It's being created and formed as we go into it. But I'm loving the position. I mean, I tell people at the time I was 63, first time I'd ever been interviewed for a job.
And I'm first like, time you okay. ever had a job, man.
I said, I think I'm excited about this. So when I was being nominated, I decided to really have my name in the process of hopefully getting the job. And after, you know, looking at the job description, there are things I've been doing for the last 20, 25 years. So I've felt comfortable in relationships with corporate and media and, you know, being a national spokes guy for the hall. Not that I'm the face of the hall, because we have 180 some guys that are alive and we're all the face of the hall. But getting opportunities like this to just talk about the exciting things that are going on at the hall, like, you know, working with, improving the footprint of the Black College Hall of Fame within the Pro Football Hall of Fame, working with Gallagher and Associates to really go from a 1995 museum, which is a great museum, but bringing it up to 2023. And
sure,
we're doing that because, you know, I love leather helmets, but I'm not sure that, you know, high school kids love leather helmets. You know, they want the interactive, the technology. So doing
well,
things
I know
like
they don't.
That.
Yeah. There's no speaker in a leather helmet. You can't communicate through a leather helmet.
No. But, you know, just doing things like that. And a lot of exciting things. And then you have the museum, but then you have another entity, the Hall of Fame Village, which is building around the hall. We, you know, eventually have a water park, a hotel. Right now we have a Ferris wheel. We have retail. We have a bubble. We have, you know, tons of youth fields bringing in young people. So a lot going on up there. So I'm excited not only to be a Hall of Famer, but to be involved in the process of what's going on.
I'm going to say this as a friend. I'm excited to see you this excited. You obviously have purpose, and you've got a mission, and it's a great, great product and a great thing. Really appreciate that. Before you go, since the Chiefs just beat the Bengals, does that make you an Eagles fan on Sunday? How do you see this one playing out?
There's a game on Sunday.
Believe it or not, my man.
No, you know, I look at, they got an excellent football team, and, you know, we had opportunities, and they just, you know, they took advantage of their opportunities. And one of the things, it was kind of like when the Chiefs played the Buccaneers. Early in the week, I'm saying Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs. Then they lose, two linemen. I'm saying Tampa Bay, because Mahomes is going to be running for his life. Both offensive lines are really good, but I think the Eagles might have the best in the league. So I'm giving the Eagles the advantage because of their offensive line. And I think in the close game, the Eagles are going to win.
So really quickly, as somebody who played the position as well as anybody, when you look at that offensive line, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Guys that are big, physical, are athletic. I mean, you got a 6'8", 340-pound left tackle who's been playing football for 5 years, Maleda. And then you got Lane Johnson, who's amazing at right tackle. Then you got Kelsey, one of the best centers. And, you know, so that's what they can pass block, but the thing I continue to say is you can throw the ball for 5,000 yards a season, but you still have to be able to move people out and run the football. Both these lines can, but I give the edge to the Eagles.
Well, last time, we know Philadelphia can run the ball. They're very good at running the ball. Do you think if Kansas City needs to run the ball, they can?
They can. I think Pacheco has enough energy and has
enough.
I like
him, don't you?
I do like him. I love his energy. And he's a hard runner. So I think they can. But I think I still give that edge to, you know, to the Eagles.
I hear you. Anthony Munoz joining me on the row. He is a Hall of Famer. Not only that, he serves as the Hall of Fame's Chief Football Relationship Officer. My man, it is so good to see you.
Great
so good to get
you.
Caught up. And you know I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. Always good seeing you.
You too. Anthony Munoz, Hall of Famer, joining us on the row. And this is why I come here, so I can have conversations like that. Hope you enjoyed that. Telephone number is toll-free. We may, in fact, have an open segment next. Maybe. I don't know the answer to that yet. So if you want, give us a call right now. It's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. If we have an open segment, I'm looking for reaction. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Time now for a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. Here it is. Here is Andrew Bogish.
Live from Phoenix, Arizona, site of Super Bowl 57, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are on Radio Rome. My thanks to Anthony Munoz. Man, he looks amazing, sounds amazing. I'll tell you what's exceptional. We actually, for the first time since I got here, have an open segment. So, clones, I know you've been kind of passive in laying out because, well, what choice do you have? I'm going wall-to-wall with the interviews. Take this opportunity. We are open this segment. So if you want to hit me up, I will go right to the best phone call, if there is one. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'm going to read some of your tweets this segment. This is the rare open segment during Radio Row Week. So you want to hit me right now. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. And again, you can find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Something else, Tommy has helped me populate our Instagram story feed. Follow me on Instagram. You can get some behind-the-scenes look here on the row and some other things you might not ordinarily see. You want to find me on Instagram at Jim Rome. Click the story. See what we have going on. Other things that I have today. We've already had Mark Andrews. We had Anthony Munoz coming up at the top of the hour. Thomas Dimitroff and Eric Eager join us. We talk about how to build a franchise in the NFL. Coming up later on, LeGarrette Blount, Sauce Gardner, Dana White is going to walk on for a few moments. Got lots to cover with him. David Tyree, former Super Bowl hero, will be on the set. Andrew Whitworth is going to join us a little bit later on today. And I'm hoping to end the show with a Zoom call with Trevor Lawrence. So that's just Tuesday. That's some big, big hitters on a Tuesday. In terms of some of the reaction, here we go. Everick H. Powell writes, my son is a type 1 diabetic. Thank you so much for telling your story. Very inspiring. I will relay to my son that there is another star athlete who is dealing with this. He was 9 as well at diagnosis. Once again, thank you for this. Yeah, I mean, I knew that. I knew for a fact. And I meant to bring it up, and I'm so glad that Mark Andrews got to that. But he was diagnosed with or as a type 1 diabetic at age 9. And his father, who's a doctor, he said he'd never seen him cry before. And it just goes to show, you can manage it. And you can not only survive, but thrive with the right plan, the right people around you. So, absolutely, I'm so glad he got into that. And that's a major, major inspiration. Snags. If Tom, in his tighty whities, tries to crash the radio row, don't let the old man in. Sign Romo. Jake in the NYC wore boxers over briefs.
Don't let the old man in.
Romo couldn't make it in yesterday to the row. One of the row mainstays. One of my favorite things about the row. So I said to our bookers, make sure we get Romo on the phone. Romo's that one guy that I prefer to have access and see Romo. Like, you want to feed off that energy. I like it when Romo comes by and he kind of looks me up and down and I know whether or not I have his approval or I don't. I know whether or not he thinks I'm being soft or not. So I like that energy exchange when Romo's here. But the amazing thing was you got that same kind of energy exchange even over the phones. Alvy, I don't know if you have any more of Romo from yesterday, but he made that point. Don't let the old man in. And by old man, he means old man. Do not let the old man in. The old man, Father Time, is banging on your door. Do not answer it, Alvy.
People are like, oh, yeah, you can't work out every day. Well, bull crap, you can't. You know, it's not like you're doing chest every day. So why can't you do chest every 5 days? Why can't you do legs every 5 days? Why can't you do, you know, tries and buys every 5 days? You can't. And, you know, your heart doesn't stop pumping on Sunday, does it? So why can't you train, you know, 7 days a week? That's what I do. I'm in the pool every day. Water is your friend. So I supplement every day. I work out every day. I'm in the pool every day. And it's a daily grind. I have this saying, don't let the old man in. Because he knocks every damn day. And he wants in. And he wants you to take a day off. He wants you to eat Doritos on the couch. Well, damn, he ain't coming in this door.
Because if he does, Romo will choke him out. And then punch him in the face. And then stomp on his head. I love that. Romo's like, what do you mean you can't work out every single day? Bullcrap! You can't work out every single day. Romo is the very epitome of no days off. No days off. And saying, don't let the old man in. Yeah, man, he keeps knocking though, doesn't he? He keeps knocking.
Don't let the old man in.
Abigail is in. At Romy's my homie. Jimmers, can you devote an entire day to Romo, please? And thank you. Yesterday was not enough. Hey, Abigail, my thing with Romo is I'm going to take what I can get. but I absolutely would love to dedicate an entire day for Romo. Romo could sit here and teach a masterclass for 3 hours on nutrition and fitness and mindset and making sure the old man does not come through the door. Romy, loving the row so far. At Bill Romanowski is always one of my favorite interviews. Even though he wasn't there in person, I'll take what I can get. Do not let the old man in.
Don't let the old man in.
Amber in Portland. Look at back-to-back Lady Clones. That's my biggest takeaway so far. And since I got here, first of all, nobody's coming to my room. I haven't left my room, so the old man ain't getting in there. But I think that's my favorite phrase so far early in the week. Don't let the old man in.
Don't let the old man in.
I love it, Romo. In addition to that, yesterday, let me think, saw Scotty Farrell before the show started. He's doing great. Had an amazing encounter after the show. An amazing encounter. There was a woman off to the side waiting very quietly and very patiently, and I didn't recognize her, and I started to walk away, and she started to walk, kind of cut the angle on me, and started to walk towards me and said, Jim, you probably do not know who I am. My name is Andrea Yeager. I'm like, oh, my God. Andrea Yeager? That's incredible. Because I played tennis growing up, and I know tennis, and I love tennis, and I was absolutely blown away. Andrea Yeager, who was a former number two player in the world, was here, and she's been so, so active off the court and giving back and working in the community. That actually was a great thrill for me to meet up with her, spend a little time, get a picture with her. She told a funny story. She said that she was talking to Larry Fitzgerald. And if you know Fitz, you know Fitz is super competitive, and you know Fitz will play mind games, and Fitz will try and get over. And I mean this in a good way, but he pimps you. He does that. Years ago, I saw him and Kurt Warner at dinner, and I was at a table a couple tables off, and I'd always done really well with those guys. And this is years ago. And I'm like, yo, man, what's up, fellas? And Larry said something to the effect of, yo, man, what's up with your hair, and where is it going? I'm like, damn, Fitz, that got real awfully quickly. From zero to real in 2 seconds. So apparently, she was telling me the story yesterday that somehow it came up that he wanted to play pickleball or wanted to know if he could play pickleball with her. And because I'm not sure he knew who she was. And she said, I'm the former. And she's not like this. She's extremely humble. But it came up that she used to be the second-ranked tennis player in the entire world. And Fitz is like, pass. Pass. Don't want any of that on the pickleball court. No, you don't, dude. No, you do not. She was fierce. Rome, Anthony Munoz likes leather helmets. Pass. Signed Lee Evans and Crickets.
It really didn't affect what we were doing. You know, we still had to play, you know, regardless. And something you had to deal with. I think we did a good job of that.
It was throwback. I thought they were going to put you guys, like, in leather helmets and have you play that thing out in the parking lot or something.
Yeah, the line didn't drop. He just didn't really think that was funny.
Lee Evans joining me.
I mean, Lee, to be fair, it was not my best line, but it was not my worst line, dude. Can you play along? Can you give me like a fake laugh? I do that. I fake laugh with people when they tell jokes. You know why? So they're not in that extremely awkward cricket moment. That's why. It's kind of what we do.
Awkward.
Awkward. The guy who sent that is Gene in the Valley, War Me, Jimbo Slice, Clay Matthews, Tori Lovello, and the rest of the 811 for life crew.
818 for life.
811. Tommy, did you mistype that, or does this guy not know what the area code is? Dude, how can you be in the Valley and want to promote 818 for life? You don't even know the area code. Imagine my dude going to a tattoo artist and like, hey, man, give me that 811 for life tat. I want to represent. Give me the 811 ink. Yeah, dude, that's awesome that you want to rep where you're from.
818 for life.
By the way, where are you from? The Valley? Then why did we just put 811 on your back for life? For life, for life. Go ahead and sandblast that crap off. Dude, 811 for life crew?
For life.
Have I ever once said 811 for life? The hell is the 811? I don't even know where the 811 is. Come on, dude. Carlin Prescott, quote, you would never see Joe Montana or Joe Burrow sitting in their boxers at home, signed Bacon 45. I got a question. Why did I bother doing anything if all you want to talk about is Tom Brady in his underwear? Like, why did I bother prepping anything, working anything, when I could just sit here and read you killing this guy for his underwear shot? I don't know why he did it. You know, and actually, I do know why he did it. You know why he did it? The same reason anybody does anything, because they can. I guess. Hey, Rome, tried to sneak into Mexico to recover your iPad. Sorry it didn't work out. Signed, Kyle Busch. Yeah, Chris, thanks. Again, it's an iPad Pro. It's not an iPad. And some a-hole stole it from me. Some a-hole literally went into my bag, a checked piece of luggage in Mexico, and took my iPad Pro. Looking for sympathy from my wife, I didn't get any. She's like, you put that in your bag? You put that in your bag? I'm like, yeah, I put it in my bag. I checked my bag. I didn't think somebody would go in and rip my brand new iPad Pro. She's like, really? You did that? I'm like, yeah. How many times do I have to say? Yes, yes. I'm the stupidest guy ever. Meantime, a-hole, you can't get in. I locked it. The battery's dead. Give me back my iPad. I've been tracking this bitch. I've been tracking it. I tracked it for like 3 weeks, and I could see it moving around Mexico, probably from one criminal to another. But none of them can get in. My favorite part of that story, though, aside from me being stupid enough to get it stolen, was homeboy sending me an email asking for the password. Or anything else, dude? Would you like my social security number? Would you like my routing number for my checking account? Dude had the gonad to steal something out of my checked bag and then asked me. But you know what, though? I see that guy working. He probably thought to himself, if this guy was stupid enough to get an iPad Pro ripped, he's probably stupid enough to give me the password. Why not try? So I sent him an email back. Here's my password. Bleep you. Give me back my iPad, dude. That's my password. Enter that. See what happens. El Chewy, listening to your podcast, and I'm digging your energy on the row. You sound 20 years younger. You're at your best in-person guest. Keep it up. That's why we do this, man. That's why we do this. You can't do it every week of the year. You probably couldn't do it four times a year, maybe. But the energy is high on the road, and it's only Tuesday. It's only going to get better. Jim, have you placed a Mavs future bet yet? Patrick, yes, I did. I bet that they would implode like every other team that Kyrie Irving shows up on. My future bet is he will wreck them the way he's wrecked everything else. So, yes, the answer is I did. Hey, idiot, I knew the second Romo said, spend time in the water every single day, some moron would send me a Bison Dele tweet or email. I knew that was coming. You know why? Because I know what you morons think before you think it. Don't do it. Hour number two from the row coming up next. Do not go anywhere.